Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
A wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings, and I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. Our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm excited today because today I have as my guest Randy Goff. Randy Goff was raised in Ohio and has been married to Diana Lynn Clark of the same hometown for 32 years. The Goffs have three sons, Tyler, Kyle, and Nick, and a daughter-in-law, Michelle, who's married to Tyler. Randy previously served 20 years in the Air Force as a fighter pilot, where he served in various assignments throughout the world. Randy and Diana currently have two Chick-fil-A franchises in the Spartanburg, South Carolina area, and have been living in Spartanburg for the past 10 years. Randy Goff, welcome to Career Calling, sir. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Robbie. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Man, thanks for being had, so to speak. I'm glad you were on the program today and looking forward to our conversation. Although I'm not gonna had you in such a way as playing tricks on you. I promise, no practical jokes on air. We save those for off air. How about that?
That'd be okay if you did.
Awesome. Well, hey, that little brief intro there, I talked just a little bit about your vocational history and just a little bit about your family. But I know most people like to brag on their family a little bit more than that. So tell us a little bit more about your family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you would have to start with Diana because we've been married for 32 years. I actually dated her for 4 years previous to that. I met her actually. It's kind of funny. Her life's kind of come full circle. I met her working at a fast food restaurant, and now we're in the fast food business. But Diana is unbelievable. We run our business together, and which is something totally different than what we had in my Air Force career, where it was very segmented and segregated, where she couldn't be a part and involved with what I did. So, although it definitely has its challenges when you work with your spouse in the work environment, but Diana's, she's awesome. And, our three sons and daughter-in-law, they're all in their 20s and they're doing various things in their life, but we've been very fortunate and blessed to have, really just a great family.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, tell us a little bit about the path vocationally that the Lord has led you down to bring you to where you are now with your Chick-fil-A restaurants. And by the way, thank you for your service in our Air Force. I appreciate that. I just want to get that to you because I have the highest regard for folks who've served in our military.
I appreciate that. That to me, when I was young, I just always, I answer your question, but just briefly on the military part, ever since I was a little kid, I always just was very attracted to the military. And I just knew at a young age I wanted to serve in that. My dad served 20 years, and I think just as a result of his influence on me, that obviously that planted a seed. And then I got interested in flying, and God was fortunate enough to allow me to do that and kind of fulfill a boyhood dream of doing that. But, 20 years was enough. As many people, I think, realize, military life is hard on the family. And so I knew about at the 17-year point that we needed to make a change just for a lot of different reasons that were involved in making that decision. But, one of those that was chief in that was just impact on my family. And Diane and I just wanted to settle down, plant roots. We got tired of moving. We moved 10 times in 20 years. And so we were just really dragging our kids in a lot of different places. And as they got older, I really did not want that for them. And so how we got involved in Chick-fil-A, you know, if you'd have told me I would have been doing this probably 15 years ago, I've been doing it 10 now, but if you'd have told me back in 2002, 2003, I'd be where I'm at, and I would have thought you were crazy. Never thought I would be doing this. But a friend of mine who was an operator at the time, he now works down at Chick-fil-A Incorporated at the support center in Atlanta. But he was an operator at the time. We went to church together. And I'd always kind of had a business mindset. And every now and then my mind would go there. You know, it'd be kind of neat to have your own business. And I just asked him what it was like to have his own Chick-fil-A franchise. And so he says, well, he gave me Truett's, one of his books, which was Eat More Chicken, Inspire More People. And when I read that book, it planted a seed in me. And a couple of things that stood out to me when I just read Truett's story and how he got into the restaurant business and really the story of his life. I was impacted how you can use your business to impact people, and that you can run a business from biblical principles. And so those two thoughts really just kind of resonated with me, and I didn't do anything with that. It actually kind of like germinated for 3 years before I actually acted on it. But it's what really started me thinking about it in a more serious way. And long story short, all that kind of came to fruition where I got into Chick-fil-A.
Well, two things came to mind while you were talking. Number one, I've got to get a copy of that book and read it for myself because I love the title. But I don't really know much about Truett other than who he was and the fact as far as, you know, him starting the business of Chick-fil-A. But I'd love to learn more details about how the Lord has influenced him and used him. And that book sounds like a great starting place. Number two, I just got to ask the question. Did you want to be a fighter pilot because you watched Top Gun when you were younger?
Well, I was already on my path. Top Gun came out as I actually was getting ready to go to pilot training. I just graduated college, and that came out. I think I remember it was like in the August of 86 when I saw that film, and I just graduated college, and I had to wait 7 months before my pilot training date was my date to start pilot training was in May of 1987 actually. No, that was not what influenced me. What influenced me was just being around my dad. He was not a pilot, but met a couple pilots, and as I heard my dad describe what they do, I was like, you know, I think that's me. I don't know. I think self-awareness is a key in order to help finding a career that is a good fit for yourself. And I think I was, for whatever reason, blessed with good self-awareness, and I knew enough about myself to what I thought I would like to enjoy to do. And so when it came to being a fighter pilot, I really just looked at all the things that were required and what the job actually asked of you, and I go, you know, I think I could see myself doing that. It was a highly competitive environment, a lot of pressure, the adventure part of the military, the part of serving. All those things really attracted me. And although there's no perfect job, I don't want to paint that picture. But by and large, day in, day out, I really enjoyed what I did. And but I think one of the keys to that is just being self-aware. I think part of that is just some people are blessed with, but I think you can become self-aware. I think you can be taught. Where you can ask the right questions to yourself in order to figure out, is this a good fit for me, my family, and the direction I should go?
Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, for those people who aren't gifted with that self-awareness naturally, a couple of different ways you can kind of launch in that direction would be just to ask a lot of people that you know and love who know you well to help them, to ask them to help you identify your strengths and weaknesses just from their observations of you. And then, of course, there's all kinds of wonderful assessments out there, like the Career Direct assessment that I offer through Crown Ministries. It helps people look at themselves from a biblical worldview on what their personality is like, their strengths, their weaknesses, mm-hmm. their interests, and helps them just guide them in that direction. So that's good stuff. What would you consider, Randy, to be your biggest career failure? Or if you don't like the word failure, your biggest career challenge that you've experienced in your life? And what kind of lessons did you learn from it?
Well, I've had too many failures to count, Robbie.
there's only one big one. So what's the biggest one?
You know, when I think about that question, I would say it like this. I would say, what was one of my biggest career disappointments? Okay. You know, so there was a time, I have to go back to my Air Force career to talk about this one, that there was, in the way the Air Force worked in promotion systems, I was up for a promotion for major, which I was promoted. But in addition to that board where you get promoted to major, they also annotate about 10% of the officers who get promoted to go to what they call an intermediate service school. And that was key because intermediate service school was indicative to your ability to be promoted to higher levels later on in your career. So you need to be able to go to that school in residence as a major. And when my results came out from that promotion board, although I did get promoted to major, I was not part of that select group of individuals that was selected to go to what was then called intermediate service school, which is a school you go for a year and you end up getting your master's and so on and so forth. But I was pretty disappointed about that because I knew that if I did not go to that, it was going to limit my ability to move up in my career if I stayed in the military long term, like 30, 35 years. I was pretty disappointed with that. But I think, you know, the good news story of it is I was able to rebound from it. I found a way, there was an alternative path where you could get selected. Didn't know about it at the time, but went and asked some advice and counsel from some of my mentors. And bottom line was I was able to persist and be able to get into a position where I did eventually get selected to go. But I just remember being very, very disappointed on the front end of all that.
What was the biggest lesson you learned from that experience?
Persistence. Be persistent. Mm. You know, there are some hard and fast things in life where you just, you know, it is what it is and you can't get around it. But I've found a lot of times in life that there's always exceptions. When it comes to man-made systems, God, obviously there's, you know, there's some things that are no exceptions, but when it comes to things and careers and organizations and businesses that, you know, people see heart, and if you persist, there's usually a way to make it. And what I think sometimes is we all get so discouraged that it's easy to give up on the first try or the second try, but you've really got to persist and push forward until all options really are exhausted. And I mean really all options, where you've turned over every rock. And so that to me is probably one of the things, and also just God's grace. Sometimes things happen that are totally outside your control, and the only answer I personally have for it is God's intervention of doing things. And I'm not saying he did it in this case on that situation, but I know there's been times in my life where that's definitely the case where it's something beyond my control. And it was a supernatural thing.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, how about the other side of that coin, Randy? What would you say has been your biggest career success and what made it so successful?
Well, you use the word success. I think that's it's a word that means many things to many people. So I define success like this, that it's basically you've achieved an objective or a goal that you've desired to accomplish. So with that definition in mind, what I would say is for Dine and I, where we were able to get our second franchise in Chick-fil-A, because in Chick-fil-A, it's a very unique franchising system. A lot of people are unfamiliar with how it works, but just to give a brief overview of it, you know, you have to compete to get one, and just your first one. It's not something which, you know, you've got some money and I want to build one here and then off you go. It doesn't work like that. So to even get one is very, very, very competitive. I know last year over 30,000 people applied or expressed interest in becoming a franchisee, but they only need about 100 franchisees per year. So anyhow, just to get one is a great accomplishment, but to get two is even more difficult because you have to go through the process all over again. It's not a guarantee. Just because you have one, there's no guarantee that you can have more than one. In fact, only about 10 to 15% of Chick-fil-A franchisee operators have more than one restaurant. And it's probably been the one that's probably been the biggest game changer for our family and our business, to where it's just enabled us to do more things as it relates to our business and the people that we work with. So, but yeah, I look on that one as one that really, you know, we were very blessed and fortunate to be able to have that opportunity.
What do you think enabled you to get that second one?
I think, well, I don't want to sound self-congratulatory on this, but I do think results matter in business and life that, you know, sometimes there is this perception amongst many different, I guess, organizations in life and people's thinking that, you know, it's who you know. And there's definitely some truth in all that. But I do think that particularly for those organizations, and I think Chick-fil-A is one of those. I really do. I'm very impressed with how Chick-fil-A. We're not perfect, but their desire and intent to constantly improve and their quality. But organizations that are like that, they really pay attention to results and they pay attention to development. And so I think for us being able to be competitive, even to be considered for, you know, an opportunity like that is we had some good results in our business. And so when it gets down to it and you're competing, you got to naturally compare as to those that you're competing with or against or whoever it may be, that you got to have some results to back up and make a case as to why you may be, you know, best suited for this. So I think that, you know, for anybody out there who's trying to interview or think about a career path, I mean, my oldest son just finished medical school this past spring. And, you know, to even get into medical school, it's very competitive. And then even as you're in there, it's competitive. And then as you compete to what kind of residency you're going to get after medical school, it's even more competitive. So it's just life is a competition. And you got to have some results in order to make your case.
Excellence plus competitiveness is a great way to get results for the Lord so that you can make more of an impact on other people for Christ. And that's a great set of thoughts to wrap up segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two. Not long ago, I had a coffee with a young man who I'll call Larry, and Larry was having a tough time in his life because of some financial and emotional woes that had cropped up in his life and was hurting his family. And these financial and emotional woes that had kind of cropped up had cropped up because of a bad career choice. He had chosen a career for the wrong reasons. It was a career mismatch. And as a result of the stress that came from that, his family was suffering emotionally and financially. Hey, don't let that happen to you. Go ahead and do something about it by taking the Career Direct Assessment. The Career Direct Assessment was created by the late Larry Burkett for the very purpose of helping Christians biblically understand and discern how to find a career that matches up with the design God created them with. And just listen for a second, if you will, from a happy, satisfied client of Career Callings named Denise. Denise took Larry Burkett's Career Direct Assessment, and as she says in her testimonial, Quote, once I completed the assessment, Robbie conducted a video call consultation with me to review my results, and he's easy to talk to, and his passion for helping people find their career direction comes through in his compassionate communication style. After asking several questions, he explained everything well and helped highlight certain insights that were key to my future. More importantly, God and His glory came shining through the session. While Robbie was asking insightful questions during the session, I experienced a significant moment of confirmation and revelation for my life. I could see a glimpse of the bigger picture God had been working in my life over the last few years, and suddenly several events made sense and prayers were answered while inspiring an enthusiasm to move toward my confirmed career calling. Praise God for the work Robbie is doing for and through Christ, and my sincere thanks for helping direct me on to my kingdom work. Thanks, Denise, for your great testimonial. And hey, the Career Direct Assessment has greatly influenced my life, and that's why I want to be able to share it with other people and help people avoid the financial and emotional pain that career mismatches bring. If you'd like to investigate whether or not the Career Direct Assessment is good for you, someone maybe who's already in the workplace looking for an answer to the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or maybe you have a loved one, like a child going off to college, that you want to give them some direction on the front end of the career search. Wherever you are in life, at whatever age you're at, the Career Direct Assessment can absolutely help you. I've counseled with teenagers up to 70-year-olds, and the Career Direct Assessment can help them all. If you'd like to learn more about the Career Direct Assessment, go to careercallings.net/discover. That's careercallings.net/discover, and learn more about it and see if it'll benefit you.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason to roam through the night to find my place in this world. My place in this world.
Welcome back from the break to segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now back to our interview with Randy Goff. Randy, was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did He clear the smoke for you?
I would say this one is pretty easy for me to answer. As I alluded to earlier about some of my transition from the Air Force to Chick-fil-A, and you know, oftentimes when I tell people or they ask me what I did previously, they are kind of somewhat intrigued about, like, how'd you go from flying planes to selling chicken? It's not a natural thought process to go from that to that.
I understand that, yeah.
And even as I also mentioned, I go, if you told me I've been doing this, I would be like, yeah, I could not see myself doing this. So during that time when I was definitely knew that I was going to finish my Air Force career, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do per se. I had 3 years to think about it, and it really was a great God story and how God just worked in our family's life at that time. For really about 2 years or so leading up to that time, even though I knew I was going to be leaving at 20, I thought I was going to be joining our church staff where we were living at the time, quite honestly. I'd have been in conversation with the senior pastor there, who seemed to be interested in me joining, and I thought that would be something I'd enjoy doing. I enjoyed ministry. I enjoy being involved in the local church, and my wife actually was already on staff at that church, and I thought, sure, it's a natural fit. I like it. Enjoy it. So for really about 2.5 years, thought that's what I was going to do. But about 7 months out from when I was going to officially retire from the Air Force, all that changed fairly abruptly. It came obvious to my wife and I that, okay, this is not what's going to happen. So it was really the first time in my life that I struggled with, well, what am I going to do? Because ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. And so I never really struggled like a lot of young people do as they go through college or even high school, thinking about what they want. I just knew what I wanted to do. It just kind of like was just given to me. So now I was actually, you know, a 42-year-old adult with a family going, all right, I got to make some money. And I felt the pressure of that. And so I actually, even though I'd been in combat before, I actually felt more anxious over that than I did going into war, just because of the responsibility of my wife and three sons. But
wow.
But so I just remember one day very distinctly, this is October of 06. And as I was going through that, and I was just praying to God one day coming back from work. It was a nice, bright, sunny day in October. One of those beautiful days in South Carolina at that time of year, clear sky. And I was about a half mile from my house, and I was just praying. I was just in anguish almost, where I was just pleading, give me direction. And I just remember, as I can still remember where I was at on the road, and all I just remember is the thought. Like, it's just like a clear thought how God speaks to me. He goes, I'll provide. And as that thought sunk into my soul, it just, peace came over me. I go, all right, he's got it. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it's going to be okay. And it wasn't but about a month later, after some conversation and prayer with Diane and I, we decided, you know what? Maybe we need to pursue this Chick-fil-A thing that we kind of, you know, read that book 3 years previously. That seed was planted. Maybe that's really the path we need to go. And so we said, let's explore this. And then as soon as we started exploring it by inserting the paperwork that you do to express interest in becoming a franchisee, the doors just came immediately open. I mean, I could not have orchestrated any of that. In fact, even to this day, when I talk to people that are in Chick-fil-A, and we always tell stories, how you got in, how did you get connected? And I've always found our story somewhat unique just because of the speed of it. And I really do feel like, for whatever reason, God uniquely had that in mind for us. So often, you know, things can get ambiguous as we make decisions. And it's not always that clear for everybody, and I don't think that's necessarily wrong, but I do think, though, you have to move and you have to make decisions, and through that, God honors it, and he points out to you the next step. He doesn't always tell you what the final step is, and most time he doesn't. You got to have to jump from one lily pad to the next.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. A friend of mine told me a long time ago that God works like a GPS system. You got to trust him for the next turn. He's not going to show you the whole map.
Yeah.
And it's a great analogy. Man, two things in there came across as really encouraging to me. You know, number one, it was shocking for me to hear you say, but encouraging for me to hear you say that you had more trepidation over the career decision and being able to know how to provide for your family than you did going into combat. And that's, you know, not ever having served in the military myself, I've got no way to make that comparison. So to hear someone with your experience say that, I think that's an encouragement to any head of household, male or female, who is struggling with a decision right now on how to provide for their family and what path to go. And there's inevitable trepidation that comes with that decision. But to realize that, in comparison to other types of concerns or fears or whatever label you want to put on it, that one's at the high, you know, top of the list. It just helps people understand they're not alone when they're suffering through that. They're not unique when they're suffering through that kind of struggle. So that's, thank you for that. And then, of course, the second thing that encouraged me was something I've heard many, many guests say over the years is pray before you leap. Pray for wisdom. Don't try to do it in your own power. Pray to the Lord. Let him direct you and trust him to provide. So that's good. Just out of curiosity, before I move on to the just before I move on to the next question, any particular story you'd like to share about, you know, how God opened doors into that Chick-fil-A? Anything particularly stand out that it was really unique that you'd like to share before we move on to the next question?
I think just to show the uniqueness of how sometimes God works. I remember when I was going through that time in my life. Of course, I'm a natural strategic thinker. I'm always thinking well out into the future and planning. I'm a planner. I like to strategize. And so as I was going through that phase, I was just kind of, you know, planning out, like, ideally how this transition ought to work, whatever I may do. And I had no idea exactly what I was going to do when I was having these thoughts. And it was the thought I had was, okay, so my retirement's May 31st, 2007. And of course, not to get into all the nuts and bolts of how that all transition works, but bottom line was I knew I was going to be able to go on terminal leave based on how much vacation you had built up, that you can actually just kind of make it your last day of work. And then you're kind of like on vacation until the actual official day that you're no longer active duty. I said, it'd be nice if I could do that to correspondent where I could take my family on vacation that April, because I probably not going to have any time to be with them in that summer because I'm going to be in a new job. And I just, it's kind of funny. I said, that'd be kind of nice to do. Well, as I got into the Chick-fil-A process, I remember distinctly in my first interview with them, it was a phone interview, kind of like what we're doing now. And the lady said, well, I'm not sure this will work because, you know, whoever is going to possibly come up to Bowling Springs and be the franchise for that, they need to be down in Atlanta, I think sometime in late March, and you don't retire until late May. So I'm not sure how that would work for you. I said, well, let me get back with you, but I have some saved vacation up, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can to let you know exactly what that day is. So, of course, when I got done with the interview, I immediately went and figured out how much time I had up, and it came out to be exactly, I had 2 days of slop, where my last day of the Air Force could be March 28th. And at the time, she said I needed to be in Atlanta for training like on March 30th. And so I thought it was, and then as it actually turned out, I didn't really need to be in Atlanta until April 16th. So it actually worked out to where I was able to spend my last day on that Friday before spring break. And I was able to go with spring break and be with my family for a week. And then after that week, I had to go to Atlanta for my training to be a franchisee in Chick-fil-A. It literally was seamless and how all that worked. And awesome. I could not have done that. I did not plan. I dreamed it, but I didn't know that's how that was all going to work out, because I didn't even know what I was going to be doing when I was thinking those thoughts. I think that was just a unique way of God just, you know,
just making confirming things happen. It for you. Yeah. That's amazing. Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us about it and how you reacted to it.
Many times, even as a Chick-fil-A franchisee, I'm faced with it. Oftentimes dealing with, you know, probably unreasonable guests or employees or team members that aren't behaving in a way that, you know, they should. But I think the one that stands out to me the most is back at the time when I was in the military. I had this one individual that, we were just like oil and water. He knew I was a Christian, and I'm not sure where he was at on his faith. But from just external fruit that I could see in his life, I don't really think he was someone who was professing to follow Christ. But he just was always finding ways to get underneath my skin, you know, all the way to where he would just like make visual gestures of just trying to irritate me. And I just remember at the time through all that, even though obviously it bothered me at times, no doubt, but I just remember the Lord just telling me that, hey, you know, I love all people. And, even though he may not know me or may not be trying to follow me, you still have influence, and how you react and how you behave matters. And so for me, I just took the path of, okay, if you don't know Christ, that is your nature. And so why should I get all that upset about it and not take things personal? Just behave the way I should behave. And so I'd really just try to always just brush it off, be very nonchalant anytime those things happened. I just learned that you had to learn to interact with a lot of different people. And that's okay, because we all are different. And we all, you know, there was a time in our life where we didn't know Christ. And so people still need to see, you know, God's love. But yes, there needs to be obviously the stand up for what's right in life too, when decisions are needed to be made that are tough. But, you know, I think that sometimes that we take things too personal, but yet we got to realize that, people, we're all prone to making really just stupid decisions. And so just learning to give, sometimes maybe understanding where people are coming from and not saying to make justification for what they do, but yet, just understand that's their nature to do things. So you got to still learn how to love people and persist and just be someone that Christ is calling you to be where you're at.
Yeah. And when you react to people in a godly fashion, that plants a seed of respect that eventually could come around to whenever, if ever, and whenever you have an opportunity to share the gospel, they'll be more prone to listen to it because you planted that seed of respect by properly responding to their antagonism. Yeah. What would you say is the number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
Well, I think for me, and I really don't want to be cliche about this, but I know it's going to sound a little bit cliche. I think for me, it really is being grounded in truth. And by truth, I'm talking about scriptural truth. Because I can be so blind and I can be so arrogant and conceited. So I think just really being biblically oriented, to where I am always put underneath the authority of Scripture, that ultimately the dividends that does pay and what it does to my soul, it just leads to so many things that are tangible in every aspect of life for me. So for me, I think I have to go back to that. And so just really trying to think from a biblical perspective on how I think, do, and what I say to people. It's probably the one big personal habit for me, just remaining grounded in Scripture.
Nothing cliche about that, brother. That's probably the best piece of advice anybody can have. What is the number one business habit? If you have a different business habit, what would you say is the number one business habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
Well, for me, somewhat tied to my personality, but I measure all kinds of things. I think measurement and obviously business, that's very key. You got to measure, but I think it's key for anything, honestly. You got to know where you're at. And so the only way you're going to know where you're at is you got to evaluate and assess, and whether that comes to a number or something a little bit more of a softer measurement than a hard and fast number. But you just got to be able to evaluate, analyze, and assess, and constantly keep tracking as to is this where I want to be, and where do I want to go? And so I think finding ways to evaluate those things in your profession, and particularly if you're in charge and responsible for leading and serving people, you've got to be able to communicate that it's a sense of accountability, because we all need that. And it kind of acts as a guardrail, if you will, pointing to a future position where you want to be. And it kind of keeps you safe in that sense of where you're always measuring. and not seeing it as something negative, but just seeing it as, okay, this is part of truth. This is part of where we're at. This is where we're going, and this is where we want to be. And, or maybe we're already there. This is what we need to continue to do in order to maintain where we're at. But I think measurement is probably one of the things. There's many, but it's probably one of the things that stand out to me.
That's good. That's good. How about a productivity tool? Do you have a particular productivity tool? And it could be internet-based, non-internet-based, whatever you use that enables you to achieve maximum effectiveness in the workplace.
I mean, for me, I wouldn't say it's funny, but it's just, it's a very common thing. I use my smartphone for a lot of things to run my business, all the way from just my calendar app. So I have a lot of things going on. So I use my calendar app a lot in order to keep myself organized. It's not just an app where I put meetings on there. It's also, it's a note taker for me. So when I'm in my business and I observe things, and I know I need to have a conversation with someone, I immediately pull out my phone and I immediately take a note. And I have a system that I've organized to what means what by color codes. And so if it's just an observation, I'll type that in and I know who I need to have that conversation with when I have that opportunity to speak with them. For me, I try to keep things simple. And I will say that the smartphone has helped to keep things somewhat simple, where it's most everything's all in one device. And there's other tools that we use in our business, from Wunderlist, which is a task tracking system where you get more detail and you can obviously tie it to different individuals in your business to help that out, all the way to I communicate heavily by text with my leadership team. It's a fast and efficient way for me to get something very quick out to where I don't have to, if it's obviously something lengthy, I need to use email, but otherwise if it's something quick, I do a text blast to get something going. So those are probably the few things that I use just in order to help me be more efficient and productive in how I work.
Which calendar app do you use, by the way?
I think it's called Weekly Cal is what it's called.
Weekly Cal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't use the one that's naturally, I have an iPhone. I don't use the one that comes with it. I think it's a free one. I don't think if anything, it's $2.99 or whatever it is, but it's not costly at all. It's just I've got to have stuff on my calendar. I have too much going on. I can't remember everything, so I got to immediately put something down. And if I have an observation where I'm going to have a conversation, or it's just a to-do thing, I go straight to my calendar. So when you open up my calendar, there's like a lot of little dots everywhere. And those aren't necessarily meetings. They're just, things that you have thought about, things that you need to do, things you need to have a conversation with. So that's the one thing I do.
Gotcha. A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. So what three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful?
I think for particularly anybody who's going to be leading anyone, and particularly if you're a business owner, I think the first thing is you got to know your why. That's not a new concept. I mean, there's been books written on it. Simon Sinek is a famous author who talks a lot about that. But, you know, knowing your why was really connected to vision. You know, for me in our business, it was very clear to me as I read Truett's book why he got into the business. And it was one of my motivating factors why I got into the business, is my why is to impact people. That's the primary driver for me. I mean, there's other motivations as to why we're in business, but that's the underlying thing that makes me feel good about it. And, but know your why. Know why what you want to do. You gotta know that before you do the what. Otherwise, it's going to lack heart. It's going to lack vision. It's not going to resonate and have some sort of transcendental cause that other people can get behind and feel compelled to help. Because we all want to have something we do that matters, and making money does not hold the weight of that. We all need money, but that can't, there has to be something deeper. So I think knowing your why, I think the other things is, particularly for business owners and leaders, you got to have a heart for people and you got to have a heart for excellence. And I might even reverse that. I'd say you got to have a heart for excellence and you got to have a heart for people because you got to be credible in whatever you do. If you don't have credibility, i.e. if you're not serving or making or doing something with excellence, eventually it's not going to work out or you'll suffer and everybody will suffer. So you got to have kind of a mission in mind, what you're trying to do with all that. And I think excellence is basically what's wrapped up in all that. And then you can't get anything done without people. And so I think you've got to have a heart, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're a 100% extrovert. And then like for Diane and I, we're totally differently wired personality wise. She is an extremely extroverted person. She wants to be around people literally 99% of every minute of every day. And she could be talking to someone 99% of every minute of every day. And I am on not the other end of the spectrum, but I'm not that. I got to have alone time. I got to think, I got to process, but we both have a heart for people. And because we know that's ultimately on earth, what matters most is where people are and what they're doing. So I think those three things, know your why, have a heart for excellence, quality, and then you got to have a heart for people.
That's fantastic. And how are you using your current vocation as a Chick-fil-A franchise owner to impact others for Christ?
A lot of ways. One, just by our example. We try to live an example of a life of what it means to be a Jesus follower. And that means being transparent. That means being real. That means sharing, you know, struggles with them at times as it is appropriate to do. I think it's also using what I like to think of in our business, because we employ a lot of young people, obviously, at Chick-fil-A, and I'm sure you guys are all aware of that. But just, you know, as we employ a lot of young adults in our business, we see a need to teach them what's a good work ethic. What does it mean to be loyal? What does it mean to be sacrificial? What does it mean to be a team player? What does it mean to see attention to details? All those things, just life skills that helps build people up to give them something where they can do something else if they want to go on to something else in their lives and their careers that they're going to have. And I think serving people, you know, Christ, he, a lot of times when you read through the New Testament, he was meeting people's physical needs, emotional needs, as much as he was their spiritual need, because that's a pathway to the human heart. And so for us, we see just serving people where they're at, whether that's in practicality of the business or even if that's external to it, i.e. where we come in and we financially help and support in different facets of individuals that's on our team, which we do from time to time. Prayer, obviously. You know, one of the things we do in our business is we see people struggling, or maybe they just need some, a little bit of a push in a direction where they need some expertise. We'll provide where we go pay for them to get counseling. And I know that's hugely beneficial, because I'm not equipped to be a licensed counselor. I don't have that skill set, but I know that counseling is very beneficial. And quite honestly, we all probably need it to some degree. And so we enjoy doing that because we know it's helpful. So there's just a lot of ways that God is using our business to help and minister and serve people.
Amen. If you could recommend just one book other than the Bible, because we know on this show that the Bible is the number one book anybody should consume, what would that one book be and why would you recommend it?
I read a lot. And that's a hard question to answer, but I think the one book that stands out to me is a famous author, which I'm sure you're aware of, but by Jim Collins, Good to Great. And the reason why I think I recommend this book is because there's one thing in that book that just has really changed the way I lead. It literally changed the way I lead. And in that book, Jim Collins talks about, and it's a very small part of it, but I love the whole book itself, but is you got to ask good questions. You got to ask good questions. Leading people, you got to ask good questions. And I found that's transformed how I lead, is asking good questions.
That's good stuff. And if you haven't read it yet, well, let me ask you, have you read his, there's a follow-up book he wrote called Great by Choice. You ever read that before?
No, I have not read that.
I would highly recommend that. Yeah, fantastic. It was a study of businesses and what made them survive horrible circumstances. How some thrived through bad circumstances, how others did not. The terrorist attack in 9/11 is what spawned that thought process. And they had some fantastic lessons on companies that survived horrible market conditions when other companies who were doing the exact same thing they were doing were failing. So what the differences were.
Yeah, I like the way Jim Collins thinks. He's a truth teller. He just goes to the facts and goes, this is what research is, you know, bears out. This is what we found. One other book I would make a plug for, though, is Patrick Lencioni's book called The Advantage. That, too, I use a lot.
What's the big lesson in that book?
It talks about culture. Culture is everything in an organization. And he walks you through a very pragmatic pathway, if you will, of how to establish an excellent culture.
Gotcha. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
Wow, there's so much. And I think, you know, advice that you give to high school seniors changes over time based on where society's at today. And I think employing a lot of high school students in our business, I get a little bit of an insight where they are, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. I think if there was one thing I would go back and if I had an opportunity to just communicate to them, I would talk a lot about for them because I think it's tangible to everything. I think it's tangible to picking a career, so forth and so on. But learning to sacrifice that anything you do, whatever pathway you take, it's going to require sacrifice. There's an investment that is needed before you ever get the result. I think, you know, part of today with our technology, even I find myself being affected by it psychologically, where we're used to things so fast, you know, fast communication, instant almost. It really does subliminally make us think that that's the way life should work. But honestly, I know you know this, Robbie, but all the good things in life, the things that you really want to achieve, and sometimes they take decades to actually establish, and it requires patience. But I think integral to all that is it's going to require a sacrifice and investment of time, resources, energy, all those things that in order to see the fruit at a later time, that you're actually sowing. And it just takes work. There's a lot of sweat equity in that.
Yeah, that's good. Randy, I've been blessed by our conversation today, and I know a lot of other people have been as well. So if anybody wanted to try to reach out to you and ask you any follow-up questions or whatnot, how would they be able to do that?
Best way to contact me is probably via email. You can reach me at randy.goff@cfafranchisee.com. So you can send me an email if you have any questions regarding to that. So I'll be more than willing to connect with you in whatever way I can be helpful.
Fantastic. And as always, we'll put a link to that email address on careercallings.net for easy access. Randy Goff, thanks so much for being a guest on today's edition of Career Callings. Have a blessed day, sir.
Well, thanks for allowing me to be on your show. It's been really enjoyable.
It's been great for me as well. And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. And if you have been blessed by my conversation with Randy Goff, as I have been, please do shimmy over to careercallings.net, where we will have today's podcast available for download and for listening online as well. Remember, that's careercallings.net. And also remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.